changed him. And so now he's teaching us. And I thought, you know, about GPS. On the back of your notes, there's this pretty little picture with the road and our text tonight. Because, guys, we're traveling this road, but we're not alone. And so, oh, the offering. Thank you, Michael. Michael, you're just the man. Michael is the man. Thank you, Michael. Let's all thank you, Michael. So while we're traveling this road, I'm recognizing that, you know, God is like GPS, because he tells me, here's where you're going. And then I hear this voice say, rerouting at the next left. Make a left at the next turn. You turn and go. You know, and it's like, and that's how I hear the Holy Spirit that way. There are times when I've just gone too far into something, and it's like, it's not too late, turn around. And I'm so grateful that he's given us the ability to hear his voice. And it's like this. We try to go old school. We try to go back and, you know, do the things that we think are going to make us earn his forgiveness. Well, if I'll just do this, he'll forgive. No, you're already forgiven. You don't have to go back to the list. Stay in tune with grace. The Holy Spirit is applying what you need. You're on it, girl. That girl's been with the Lord, I can tell you. So, you know, this is the kind of thing that we want to talk about tonight. And he's reminding us that, you know, in this world, you're going to have trouble until you get to heaven. This is not all we get. This is not the final stop. The enemy's going to do everything he can to get you to look at today, your situation, what's around you, so that you will not have hope. And we're going to have hope. So the first thing we're going to talk about is what Peter had learned and was sharing from his life experience to encourage all the believers. We're going to go over Peter's life again real quick. And here's some things that Jesus helped him with. I've got six for you. Jesus overcomes fear. Whether he was stepping out into the boat or whether he was stepping across the threshold into a Gentile home that he thought was horrible. And you're like, well, that's awful. Why would he do that? Let me just say this for you Cowboys fans. That would be like somebody saying, you're going to go to the Washington Redskins tailgate party tonight. You'd be like, what? You know, Philadelphia Eagles, what? Yeah, you wouldn't want to do it. And that's how he felt. It was a new territory for him. But we know that 1 John 4:18 says there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. I'm going to warn you in just a little, when we get later, I'm going to keep checking the time, but I've got a bunch of scripture references for you that is ammunition to load in to your guidance system. So I didn't write those down for you. They're not on your notes, and they're not on the PowerPoint. So you're going to have to stay with me tonight and keep those pens ready if you want them. I see that Jesus forgives our unfaithfulness. You all know Peter's probably the number one person in the Bible when you think of somebody who promised to do something and didn't do it, right? But we know that Jesus forgives unfaithfulness. Peter was a former failure, but with Jesus, failure's not the end. Could you just say that with me? With Jesus, failure is not the end. Because 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we're faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Who owns me? Who is possessing me? Right? And Jesus patiently teaches over and over. Peter needed correction. He needed to be pulled back. I mean, really, if Jesus had said to me, get thee behind me, Satan, after I said something, I would just be crying and leave the room and go out and probably shoot myself. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Over and over, this guy needed correction. But Jesus patiently taught him, because the master is looking for students who are willing to learn. That's you tonight. That's why you're here. Psalms 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Jesus sees us as he intends us to be. The very first time he met Peter, what did he call him? Peter. He didn't say, hello, Simon. He called him Peter. He knew who he was before. And I want you to hear me tonight with a word to encourage and stir back up what the Holy Spirit has already said to you. God has already called you something different than you're letting the devil call you. God has already spoken over you something that is life-giving. And man, we just revert back to what people say. But boy, he sees us as he intends us to be. That's why he says, you're my beloved. That's why he says, you're faithful. That's why he calls us his masterpiece. That's why he says to us that we're redeemed. It doesn't matter if I feel redeemed. There's a price that's already paid for me. And in Philippians 1:6, who he began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. Not till you're partway there. Not till you just got a little dose, but completed. Life is not about completion when you receive Jesus into your heart. You're not complete there. It's a maturing process, and it comes through the things that we go through. I see number 5, that Jesus uses unlikely heroes. Because Peter was willing to leave what he knew to follow Jesus didn't mean that he still didn't need his skill. Who in here tonight is hearing what I'm saying to you? We need to leave behind how we've defined ourselves. Still going to use my skill sets, but I need to leave behind how I've defined myself and my confidence in what's going to provide for me and trust him. Because what's going to happen? He's going to use unlikely heroes because somebody's watching. Here's all the disciples. This horrible thing's happened. Peter's failed. And the first thing that happens when Jesus meets with him is he brings him in and tells him what? How to catch more fish. He takes him back to his skill set. He reaffirms to him, you haven't lost, but now we're going to change what you're using it for. And so we see that being with Jesus is what makes all the difference. And Acts 4:13 says, they realized he had been with Jesus. People saw the difference in him. And then I added a 6th one, because I want to tell you something tonight. Jesus looks to reconcile and not to reject. The devil is a liar. He's an accuser, and he's a fault finder. And everything he's got in him is wanting you to believe that God is looking, Jesus is looking for the reason to reject you and to turn you away. And I'm here tonight to tell you that Jesus is looking for the reason to accept you and to bring you close. And we're going to shut that wrong GPS down tonight. So GPS, y'all know I'm crazy, so we'll just go with that. GPS, God provides stability, okay? There's a stability thing that's working here. Who can tell me what our destination is? What's our destination? Heaven. All right. Do you know how to get there? Come on. You got that built-in Holy Spirit. You got the Word of God. You got the blood of Jesus. What causes natural delays when we travel? What causes natural delays? Sorry? Yeah, you lose your focus. What, Pete? Wrong turn. Oh. Rerouting. Please turn back. Yes. What was that one? We think we can do it on our own. Get a flat tire, bump in the road, get distracted, person in front of you is going too slow, person behind you is going too fast, right? Yeah. Running out of gas. All these are, you hearing me in the natural? All these are delays in the natural. But I'd like for somebody to find John 16:33. A bold, loud reader, John 16:33. Y'all, if we were in Sunday school, you'd have to stand with the sword drill. Shout it out. Who's got it? John 16:33. Loud and proud. Go, Miss Ida. Like you're yelling at one of the grandkids. Go, girl. Come on now, Grandma, bring it. Listen, in the King James Version, he tells us two things. He says there's going to be trials. Some of your versions are going to say tribulations. Some are going to say trials and sorrows. But he's telling you what's coming. I want you to get this tonight because I truly believe that in my GPS, grace is my G, P is my provision, and S is stability. Every part of 1 Peter that I'm going to break down for you as we study over 1 Peter, because we're starting that tonight, every one that we break down is going to have GPS for each section, okay? But I want to tell you about this. Don't think, when Steve teaches, what does he say grace is? Grace is, I'm going to tell on y'all, grace is Jesus, okay? Grace is Jesus. So if grace is Jesus, then grace is not just a ticket to heaven. When I accept Jesus and I take the grace and mercy, that's not my ticket to heaven, okay? Grace, I have this little saying in our house, grace is not just a prayer over the meal. Grace is not just something to get your ticket to heaven. Grace is a way of life. Because if grace is Jesus, it's not dormant and it's not dead, it's alive. Okay? So while I'm looking for that, I recognize that there's a couple of things that happens. When I'm young, if I'm little in the Lord, think about little children, and you see your kids and they're playing and all of a sudden your kids just, you know, they're just great little kids and all of a sudden there was another little kid and they just haul off and slap them and you're humiliated. You're like, where did they learn that? It just comes out of them. It just, you know, hey, my toy, mine, squawk, you know. And you just think, oh, and you're so humiliated. You're like, oh, my kids, you know, oh, they don't know how to do that. What happens? You correct them. You say, that's not acceptable. No, no, when they're little. No, no. And you let them know. And you say, no, that is, we love, we share, we whatever. You give them correction, right? But that's because we're in the process of learning, okay? That is our natural sin nature. You're just going to go after what you think belongs to you. But there's a supernatural way, but we let the enemy come in on us and browbeat us when we don't do something right. And really, God is saying, all these trials and tribulations, I'm walking through them with you. So when you reach out and react in the flesh, I'm going to teach you how to act on the word first so there's no flesh reaction. Because he's a good father. He cares about us. So here's our GPS we're on tonight. We're going to break down, we're just going to study verses 1 through 12 tonight. When you're studying the Word of God, think of it as arsenal for your weapon against our natural reactions and against the enemy, okay? When a soldier has been through so much training, it's ritualistic, it's continual. It's over. Anybody in here been in the military to say yes to this? What they do is to break you down from thinking on your thoughts till you have no other thoughts but the one thought. Okay? And the reason is because they're not trying to make you a clone. They're not trying to destroy you or, you know, be capitalistic whatevers. It's because you can't act on instinct sometimes. You've got to act on knowledge. Because you don't know where you're going. When you're in the middle of a battle, you don't see the end result. But somebody who's overseeing that battle is looking at an end result. So what they want you to do is to just continually stay on this one thought. This is your arsenal. These are those words. And when I can't think for myself or I let the enemy get me tripped up, I can take that word and I can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do it. Lord, I'm weak. I'm not strengthened. I need you right now, God. I need that, you know, power of a sound mind, God. It's not not your place that I don't have a sound mind. I know according to James 3:16 and 17 that anything, God, that's not pure and peaceable and gentle and full of mercy and good fruits, if it's wavering back and forth and double-minded, God, that's not you. See what I'm saying? Then you can automatically begin to put yourself back on course. That little voice, the Holy Spirit, turn left, proceed with caution in 4.2 miles, right? And you hear that voice. So let's look at verses 1 through 2. And what I see here, grace is providing security. That's the GPS I want to make for verses 1 through 12. We're going to see four different places. We're going to divide this down between verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2 is this. Grace is providing security for you to know that you are chosen by God. The enemy is going to tell you you're not chosen. Your friend was chosen. Your mama was chosen. Your daddy was chosen. But you have not been chosen. You are being rejected because of what you're doing. And he comes in here and he says, Peter, and I'm going to read this out of the message. I, Peter, am an apostle on assignment from Jesus the Messiah, writing to exiles scattered to the four winds. See, they got scared. And we studied last week about Caesar Nero and all the things that were going on and the horrible persecution and everything that Peter had already been through. The humiliation, even trying to be with Jesus himself, like being like, dude, I'm such a failure. I'm such a, you know, piece of worthlessness, right? But now he's realizing who he is because of what he's been through, because he wasn't rejected, because Jesus saw him as he intended him, because he knew where he was headed, because he wasn't looking for the reason to reject him but to move forward with him, because he doesn't use superheroes, he wants to use natural people in a supernatural way. So now he's redefined himself. I'm Peter, an apostle on assignment by Jesus, the Messiah, writing to exiles scattered to the four winds. Not one is missing and not one is forgotten. You may let the enemy get you into the isolation corner and tell you how horrible you are. You may let the enemy back you into the corner and tell you what God is and isn't going to do, but you're not forgotten. And when you can claim that word and say, you know, that's a lie, I'm not forgotten, you'll pick back up your arsenal and you'll gain strength from it. God the Father, listen, he's going to give you the 3 points here. He brings it all into one. God the Father has his eye on each of you and is determined by the work of the Holy Spirit to keep you obedient. How am I going to be obedient? Because I'm a stinker. How am I going to stay obedient? Through the blood of Jesus. May everything good from God be yours. This is a guy who's saying, listen, I'm pioneering the way. I want you to learn from my mistakes. There's a theme here, folks, in the New Testament. Over and over, we are watching these men share their regrets and saying to us, don't repeat my regret. Don't waste your time. Don't go back onto what you know. Don't worry about your failures. Quit looking at where you missed the mark. Get up. God's making a way. He sent his son to pay the price, and the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you and tell you what you need. And let me be clear. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. But quit going back to the list and looking for your directions when he wants to speak to your heart and tell you something different than you knew before, because he knows where there's shortcuts you don't know about. Sweet little Sandy Pettis, some of you remember her. She would not get on the freeway, okay? So whenever we wanted to go somewhere, she would say, I want to go to the hospital and I want to drive, but I don't want to go on the freeway. Well, I learned a lot from that because I had to learn all these back ways to get to different hospitals and stuff, right? But now, listen with your spiritual ears. I know what time of day it is. I know what time it is. And I know that GPS is going to send me on that freeway telling me, and I know these little back roads, and I know I can get there quicker. Okay? When you walk with him, He's going to show you those things and remind you, and you'll think, oh, if I go, oh, there's a trap. Okay, ooh, last time I did that, now I remember that. Okay, yeah, I don't want to get stuck in that mess again, right? This time I'm going to move with him. So he comes in, and he's teaching us about the Trinity and that grace is going to provide for me security. The second thing in verses 3 through 5, well, verses 1 and 2 is know that you're chosen by God. If you have received Jesus Christ in your heart, I want to settle this. Your GPS is working. You, listen, if I get in that car and I've been crying and I've been praying up here and my eyes are swollen and I look terrible, or when I left Sunday morning because I was so sick and I tried to come to church and Steve was like, you look awful, go home. When I get in my car, that GPS doesn't go, you look awful, I'm not helping you. That GPS doesn't say, the smell of that coffee I don't like it. That GPS doesn't say, you know, I don't appreciate the way that you turned the wheel and jerked it yesterday. I don't think I'll operate with you. I've been chosen. That thing's been chosen. It doesn't have ulterior motives and hidden agendas. It just works with me. Who's with me? You got to know you're chosen. God is not looking for the reasons to reject you. He's already accepted you. He's looking for our agreement with him to move forward. Second thing, verses 3 through 5, we got to know that the believer's living. What a God we have and how fortunate we are to have him. This Father of our Master Jesus, because Jesus was raised from the dead. We've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven, and the future starts now. God is keeping careful watch over us and the future. The day is coming when you'll have it all, life healed and whole. God is not dead. And verse 5 gives us this assurance, okay? God is withholding judgment because he's looking for us to go the way of salvation. As long as I'm on this earth and I am called by him, God is withholding judgment against me. That is mercy. He withholds what I deserve. But his grace gives me what I don't because it's been paid for. Did you ever buy something special for a child for Christmas and then like they really did something that was just so stupid right before Christmas and you're just like, man, I do not want to give that to them now, but I have got all this money invested in this thing, come on, and I want to make sure. Do you not know that your Heavenly Father is saying to us, these things that I've got for you, they're so eternal, they're so paid for. I'm not looking why I want to withhold grace from you. I'm looking for you to turn around and say, Dad, give me the thing you've already paid for. Dad, give me what I don't deserve. Because in receiving what I don't deserve, I get in agreement with you and I run from the thing, Lord, that would try to separate me from you. He's so good. Verses 6 through 9, you got to know the truth about trials and temptations. I know how great this makes you feel. Even though you have to put up with every kind of aggravation in the meantime, pure gold put in the fire comes out of it proven pure. Genuine faith puts through this suffering. It comes out and it's proven genuine. When Jesus wraps this all up, it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory. You never saw him, yet you loved him. You still don't see him, yet you trust him with laughter and singing because you kept on believing you'll get what you're looking forward to, total salvation. Man, I'm telling you, sometimes you just ought to laugh at the enemy like he's a comedian and it makes him really mad. And he'll leave you alone because he's not having his way with you. Things were just going, everything was wrong, just like, everything, whatever I did, it was going wrong, and the kids, and life, and it was just a bad time, and we had all these Satanists, and all this stuff was going on when we lived in California, and I've told you the story when he called me on the phone, and he goes, I sacrificed a pigeon to the devil for you, and I had heard so much stuff, we'd been through so much, we were in a very ultra-rich area of Manhattan Beach, California, and I'm living in a fellowship hall, and I'm bathing my kids in a sink because there is no bath or shower. Steve and I are showering, bathing in the baptismal tank in the church. Okay, it's not pretty. All these things are going wrong, and yet when he said that to me, I started laughing. And I was like, a pigeon? Is that all I got? Dude, it should have been an elephant, because I'm telling you, I'm praying. And I started laughing, and he got mad, and he quit the growling. He goes, my people pray 24 hours a day. How long do your people pray? I said, just long enough to say the name Jesus. I don't have to do all that groveling and begging. Click. He hung up. So he calls back. I've cursed your whatever, blah, blah. I said, look, dude, you're a coward. Calling me up, trying to make threats to a woman. Dude, if you're a man, get over here and look me in the face and say that to me, because the power got click. Never call back again. Okay? But I believed God. That was not me thinking. That was the Holy Spirit. It was just like, it couldn't get any worse. Seriously, you sacrificed a pigeon. He said he went up in the church attic. So I go up there, and there's nothing. Well, no, because he wanted me to be scared and never go up there and think, they're coming in on us. And you know, dude, bring it. Bring it. I got nothing. I got nothing. I'm not afraid of you. My dad is bigger than you. And the thing we forget is that he knows the end of the thing. Okay? You got to know the truth about trials and temptation. It's to prove your faith is real to you. That proved to me my faith was real. You're going to go through some things to show you that what you believe is real. He says it's like gold in the fire. You know, you go to one of these little places and you grab the little thing with the claw, you know, and, ooh, I got me a little old ring, come on. You know, ooh, this looks like a diamond. You know, like when you're 7 years old, you're like, ooh, and you're so proud of that thing. You drop that thing in the water, in hot boiling water, not even a big old fire. And you're like, oh, well, it wasn't what it said it was. When I get in hot water, it's proven who I am to me. To me, he already knows what's in me. He's called me by name. He said, you're chosen. You're anointed. He said that you're victorious. I'm the one who's got to get in agreement and believe it. I'm not waiting on him. It's me. And I got to believe him more than the devil. And quit putting the devil on the same level as God. The devil would be like Gabriel. You know, they're just like majors or corporals. It ain't the dude, all right? Is just under, you know what I'm saying? That's who he is. And everything he does is to prove to you and to prove to the world that he's faithful. Well, you don't understand, you know, I've really blown it. And I didn't just blow it once, I blew it more than once. Then to double God be the glory, because he won't reject you. Then to double God glory, because you're showing the world that I'm stronger than that thing that you think I need to make it through, and I'm going to show you how to do it, and it ain't going to cost me a dime, all right? And I'm going to come through it. Okay. So we conquer our belief. We conquer by our belief. Steve and I were going to Galveston one time. So I turned on Siri. He hates apples. Okay, I'm just going to tell you. He like thinks it's like a status thing. Well, it's not. I just understand him, okay? And he's like the galaxy man, okay? So he's like, my Google whatever's going on. I was like, fine, whatever, honey. But I've learned if Steve was here, he would laugh and say it's true, okay? And he's training with FEMA in South Texas. So here's the thing. He'll be back tomorrow night late. But anyway, so we're going, and I didn't tell him I turned Siri on. I just turned everything down, okay? Just have it over here, because I know. So we make this turn, and I'm like, I said, honey, where are we going? Well, we're going to go over here, and we're going to hit this and lead back to whatever, and we're going to cut off 20 minutes. I'm like, okay. So we keep going, and he's like, I don't think this is right. I said, well, whatever Google search says, yeah, I rubbed it in. I'm wrong. I'm evil. I'm vile. I'm whatever. Pray for me. So we got there. I said, I think we should pull over here and let's just reroute this. Let's just think about this. So he pulled in this little parking lot, this bank, and he's like, man, I don't understand this. And then he's trying to redo it. It's like, well, now it's saying, and I said, well, honey, I have Siri on, and it says that we should have gone, we shouldn't have turned back there, and that if we do this, and he went, well, you think Siri knows more. I was like, Steve, why do I have to take up for something that's technical in a phone? Why do I feel like I have to take up for Siri, and it's not even a person? Well, why do I feel that way with you? And he's like, what does it say? I'm like, listen, that GPS has no hidden agenda. That GPS has no ulterior motives. I'm going to run the Van Zandt around for 3 hours. No, right? And it doesn't even go, well, if you'd have worn those closed-toe shoes, I'd have given you the right directions. It's not even that. It's just simply, it cannot do any more than what's put in it. Okay? It cannot tell me any more than what's in it. All right? But it's leading me right because what's in it doesn't have the emotions. But I do. So Steve's like, okay. So once we got to Houston, he's like, I know where I am now. Turn it off. I was like, okay. I just put it right there. I kept watching it because I just wanted to make sure. I didn't want another, you know, thing. Because you all know my husband will admit to you, he doesn't do well with driving, okay? Dude in a hurry. My kids have always said, Dad is like, hurry up and wait. But Steve's like, we will always be early. We will never be late. Okay. So that's what he's telling us. You need to know the truth about trials and temptations. They're there to prove who you are to you and who I am to you. And then so the world's going to know. And we're going to finish up with verses 10 through 12. The prophets who told us this was coming ask a lot of questions about this gift of life God was preparing. The Messiah Spirit, who's that? Holy Spirit, thank you, let them in on some of it, that the Messiah would experience suffering followed by glory. They clamored to know who and when. That is still us today. Don't. I know that something's coming. Just tell me who and when and how. If you know who and when and how, what do you need him for? To blame? Oh, keep going. Ooh, pull back. Ooh, ooh, ooh. All they were told was that they were serving you. You who by orders from heaven have now heard for yourselves through the Holy Spirit the message of these prophecies fulfilled. Do you realize how fortunate you are? Angels would have given anything to be in on this. Angels who, yes, they have a choice. Because a third of them followed Satan. But they didn't get to know the power of him working through a redeemed life. They didn't know. They didn't know what it was like to sing praise to him because they had experienced it in their self and seen it because they'd always had faith. You don't need faith when you're in heaven. You're going to need love, but you won't need faith. But they see this in us, and they just are like, wow. They can't sing the song of the redeemed. They're never going to know what that's like. So here we are. Knowing the amazing greatness of salvation, that is so important, that you know that you've got this amazing salvation that is always working for you. Salvation is the personal experience of God's grace. Is that, Shannon, when you made Jesus the Lord of your life, was that the only time you needed grace? So you've needed it, let's say, more than 5 times? 10? Can you name the number? Really, I couldn't even give you a number on how often I need grace. See, we're acting like it's a one-time thing. Salvation is my new birth. It's my rebirth. When my babies are born, they don't come out with a degree and knowing the Bible. It's a learned, growing, maturing process. To me, the difference between my nature, N-A-T-U-R-E, and being mature, M-A-T-U-R-E, is one hump. You get over that one hump, you just went from nature to maturing. Okay, you with me? So here he comes in. It's not, grace is not just my ticket to heaven. Grace is my strength. Grace is my backup that speaks to me. Jesus is saying to me, you have already got your victory. Close your eyes and just keep walking if you don't like what you see. Today, I'm coming up from, I picked up the Panera Bread this morning about 7 o'clock, and I'm coming back up Denton Highway. And there, for those of you who travel that, you know, when you get on it, it's North Tarrant Parkway, there's like 3 lanes, okay? So generally, I try to get in the, you're smiling, I try to get in the right lane because I know a lot of those people are turning. And I know that when I get up to 820, the third lane is going to turn into a fourth lane, and they're all going to turn, so I can cut off a lot of traffic if I stay in that lane. So I'm like, okay. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to get in that lane. And I get to Basswood or whatever it was, and I'm stopping, and I'm just short. You know what I'm saying? Like, the light is yellow, but it's not early yellow enough that I can go through. And I know you just need to stop. So I stopped. And I'm like, God, really? Look, they're just going on. Why couldn't I have been in sync with that light? Really? You know what he said to me? Look at where you are. And I was like, 5 minutes behind everybody else. And I heard again, look at where you are. I was the first car. He said, what you see as being late is me positioning you to be first for the next move. I want you guys to hear that in the spirit. Those of you who think you're late, everybody's always passing you up. You're always the one who's at the end trying to catch up. And, you know, boy, you're just barely getting it. He's positioning you to be first because the next move of God is coming. So I'm like, God, I'm listening. I'm like, God, you're sovereign. I repent. I'm evil. Thank you. I didn't cram a pastry in my mouth to feel worse about myself. And I just keep going. And I heard him say, just heard this little whisper. It's not a voice. Okay, I'm not like, you know, crazy and me too. I'm driving, and I just, this thought, stay in the middle lane. It's like, you know that the middle lane, it was like, stay in the middle lane. I'm going to show you something. Because I've been studying this lesson, right? So I'm staying in the middle lane. Zoom, zoom, zoom. On the right side, I'm like, and I just pulled over without even thinking. It was like, where are you supposed to be? And I was like, dude. So I got back over. I'm going. Everything stops in both lanes. And I'm like getting to Denton Highway. I'm like sailing in the middle of this. I don't care how crazy I sound to you. Sometimes you just need to know that you're in sync with him and not a stupid light on earth. Are you with me? Man, I'm zooming, and I'm like, God, this is amazing. God, I can hear you. God, you're so great. And I'm like, I'm not kidding you. I'm like 5 cars from 820, and I look back on both sides, and they're just everywhere, and I'm like, and it was just the most exhilarating thing because God isn't just in your big thing. God's in your little thing to prove to you that he can get you to the big thing with joy and glory and happiness. I didn't have the GPS on, but I had the grace. I had the grace. Come on. I had his grace that was producing stability. Because now I know when he says something, he can do what I don't think he can do. Oh, I think he can heal Ron and he's going to walk, but I don't think he can change the light on Denton Highway 820. Are you with me? He's like, I want to be in your everyday stuff. So here's the thing. These are going to go really quick. If you need peace, these are going to go quick. If you need peace, I've got the scriptures for you. John 14:27. That is ultra cool best. John 14:27 for me. Psalms 85:8-11. Isaiah 9:6-7. Just write down the first two letters of the book if you're writing them down. Micah 5:5. Luke 2:14. I'm going to go over them one more time. Luke 19:38. Romans 5:1-2. Ephesians 2:14-17. Philippians 4:7. I did all the work for you. Colossians 1:20. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Hebrews 7:2. Hebrews 13:20-21. He's going to make us, and you know when we studied the book of Hebrew right before James to get us where we are, he said he's going to make us perfect, and that word is mature, in every good work. He's going to take us from where we are to where we need to be because he can see it and we can't. There is nothing new God has to learn. There's nothing new. There's no tidbit of information. There's no, you know, shortcut in the road. There's no roadblock. There's no construction he's not aware of in your physical and spiritual life. He knows where you are going, and he wants you to have peace. Here's your arsenal. John 14:27, Psalm 85:8-11, Isaiah 9:6-7, Micah 5:5, Luke 2:14, Luke 19:38. Y'all are spoiled. I always write this down for you. Keep going. Romans 5:1-2, Ephesians 2:14-17, Philippians 4:7, Colossians 1:20, 2 Thessalonians 3:16, Hebrews 7:2, Hebrews 13:20-21. Now I'm going to tell you about some scriptures that talk about tribulation. Oh, well, it said it there. You know, they hinted at it. And now Peter's on this downward thing about suffering and tribulation. This word is a today word. This word lines up with where we are today. This word is telling us how to overcome from persecution and tribulation. And we're so worried about somebody thinking bad about us that we won't even stand up for Jesus. Tribulation. John 15:19-21. Acts 14:22. You don't need to write these down. I mean, but they're there. They're all tribulation, telling you they're coming from all these different writers, everybody who's experienced it, prophets who are seeing it in the future. Romans 8:38, 2 Corinthians 7:4, 1 Thessalonians 3:4, 2 Timothy 3:12, Hebrews 11:25, 1 Peter 5:9, and Revelation 7:14. So you're like, okay, I got some peace. I know about the tribulation. What's going to encourage me? Here's your encouraging scriptures, because he says, but in this world you're going to have tribulation in this world, but be of good cheer. John 14:1. Don't let your heart be troubled and don't be afraid. That's a good one. Acts 9:31. Acts 23:11. Acts 27:22-25. 2 Corinthians 1:3. 2 Corinthians 13:11. 1 Thessalonians 3:17. Read them real quickly again. John 14:1, Acts 9:31, Acts 23:11, Acts 27:22-25, 2 Corinthians 1:3, 2 Corinthians 13:11, and 1 Thessalonians 3:7. And I want you to know that Satan's going to get it according to John 16:11. I want you to know that he's going to get it according to John 12:31. I want you to know that he's going to get it according to 1 Samuel 17:51-52. I want you to know the devil is defeated according to Psalm 68:18. I want you to know he's going to go down according to Romans 8:37, according to Galatians 1:4, Galatians 4:6-4, 1 John 4:4, and 1 John 5:4. The devil is going down. There's your arsenal. There's your weaponry. Here's what happens. The devil comes in with the pea shooter. They don't like me. How am I going to pay that bill? Oh, it just doesn't work for me like it does for them. They're so holy, and I just can't be that holy. And God just comes in with a bazooka. Boom! You're a liar. I got better things to do. Dude, I'm talking to a dead man. You ain't gonna be where I am. Right? I'm giving you this scripture, Isaiah 49, 8 through 12, because I want you to hear about your roadmap, and I want you to hear about the guide. God also says, when the time's ripe, I answer you. When victory's due, I help you. I form you and use you to reconnect the people with me, to put the land in order. What? Listen, I'm talking about today. I'm talking about where I'm living now in 2017. I form you and use you to reconnect the people with me, to put the land in order, to resettle families on the ruined properties. I tell prisoners, come on out, you're free. And those huddled in fear, it's all right, it's safe now. How many people come to that door that get out of prison and they got their heads down, and the minute I go over and give them a mama bear hug, they're so stunned, most of them break down in tears. Because we let the world define us. Keep moving. There'll be foot stands all along the roads, picnics all on the hills. Nobody's hungry. Nobody's thirsty. Shade from the sun, shelter from the wind. For the compassionate, that's Jesus, for the compassionate one guides them. He takes them to the best springs. I'll make all my mountains into roads. I'll turn them into a superhighway. Look, things coming from far countries, and those out of the north, those streaming in from the east, and those all the way from down to the Nile. God is saying, no matter what comes your way, you have victory. See, here's the problem. We're running the race, and we keep looking for a finish line. Oh, Jesus. Gotta get me. Oh, God, somebody give me some water. Gotta cramp. Oh, Jesus. And we keep going. And the whole time, on your back is the day you're going to go meet him. Because you've already won. Because your name's already written in the book in heaven, and your name's already written in the Lamb's book of life. So every time you get the cramp, and you're like, oh, Jesus, in the book of remembrance is, Gay got a big old cramp. She kept going. And you're thinking you have failed, and he's writing down your victories. Because when you get to heaven, it's not going to be, remember that cookie you went in the church? You went in there and it had, you know, that was Leslie's cookie. And you went in there and she was saving it for Bella because it's her favorite sugar cookie. But you wanted it and you took it and you went in there and you ate it. Yeah, that's on the big screen in heaven. No, you know what's on the big screen in heaven? The fact that I ran to him and said, God, I need you. I love you. And he goes, man, there was a day when Gay was rolling backwards, but she moved forward. Are you with me on this? Do you see that you've already won? But as long as the enemy can lie to you and tell you you're never going to win, you'll quit. And that's his goal. And our goal is to keep believing. Guys, stay where he tells you to stay. Here's your two biggest problems. Ready? I want to debate it, and I want to doubt it. Think about it. Well, God, if he don't need your debate. He knows more than you do. He doesn't need my information on what somebody did to me. He knows. And he doesn't need my doubt. Well, God's probably not going to do that, so I'm going to keep that credit card. And I'm not against credit cards. I'm not against what people think they need to do. But I am against somebody telling you you need to buy something on a credit card to learn more about Jesus to know how to make money. I'm against that. That don't even make sense to a child. Keep moving. All right, so GPS, turn on God's personal stability. Hey, you, please turn around. Go to exit 247. Make a U-turn. Go back across the bridge and go to the left. Oh, he's telling me there's a way to do it. It's going to take me longer to get back where I was, but that's probably because some nut job has already made a hole over here and I'm going to fall into it. No, instead we're like, now I'm behind. No, you're not. You're where you need to be, and he has grace and mercy for you where you are. And the first GPS in 1 Peter 1 through 12, and I'm sorry if this is elementary and beneath everybody who's so deep and knowledgeable, but here we go. Is grace provides security. He wants you to know right off the bat, whose you are, what he's done for you, that everything that you're going through is going to prove it to you and to everybody else, and that he already knows, and he's going to bring the mountains down low for you. You don't have to pray, oh, Jesus, help me get enough gas to get over this mountain. Oh, if I get it to the mountaintop, that's when I'm blessed. You're blessed because the mountain moves before you get there. You're blessed because your gas is going to go further than you know. You're blessed because a five-minute prayer of sincerity beats the demoniac who says he's praying 24 hours a day against you. Are you with me in this house tonight? And who in this house tonight is going to say, I'm tired of the flat tire. I'm tired of feeling like I'm running on fumes. I'm tired of believing that it depends on who's in front of me, how far I can go, and what I can do, instead of saying, God, if you put them there, then you got the timing right. Cool me down. My radiator's overheating. Are you with me on this? I shouldn't have to take up for God with you and say, will you just trust? Well, you know, it's just the word. You kind of need to, I don't know, honey, I'm kind of saying, why do I feel I need to take up for God? Right? Tonight, we need to settle it. I'm not going to debate him, and I'm not going to doubt him. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him, and I'm going to let him bring me out. And he's going to tell me the right time. And I'm telling you guys tonight, the Holy Spirit is wanting to speak to you, and some amazing things are going to happen, and you're going to be like, I am on Denton Highway in the middle lane, and I am ahead of everybody else, and all I can see is, why aren't they all pulling in behind? You know? Like, and God's like, because I said no. I said no for a hard-headed little girl that I love. See, we talk about the hard-headed little girl, but go ahead and say the second part, that I love. God is wanting to amaze you with the wonder of who he is. And I want to know in here tonight, who's ready to let him? Who's ready to let God amaze you with his love? Who's ready to believe God over the doubt and the debating? Is your mind just so tired of debating? I want you to stand with me tonight. Next week, you're going to love this. As we finish chapter 1, it's God provides sobriety. And everybody's like, ooh, I haven't been drinking all week. No, that's not what sobriety's about. We just measure the Word of God by the world, and we're going to start measuring the world by the Word. Okay? But God's going to provide some sobriety. He's going to wake us up and sober us up to some realities through this next week, because tribulation and persecution are coming. Not because God's evil, not because he doesn't know where you are, but you live in an evil and broken world. But grace gets you through it. Grace is a living, working power. It's not the golden ticket. It's the power alive and active. So tonight, I just simply want you to do this. I want you to close your eyes, just because, don't be looking at me. Focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. And I want you just to say this. God put me in the middle lane. God put me in the middle lane. Show me where you want me to be aligned without looking to the right or the left, where you want me to be aligned. That's why tonight when we were in worship in that song, I could just hear him saying, when you turn to the left, I'm right beside you. And if you turn to the right, you've not been left. I'm telling you, that's grace and mercy. And Lord, you are not an excuse for sin, but you are the power to overcome it. And I want to thank you tonight, Lord, that you love us and that you want to amaze some of us in here tonight with the ability to hear the Holy Spirit. And I'm asking you right now to lay down your nonsense and pick up God's sense. I'm asking you right now to stop this caring about the world and the things that are going on in it, more than just saying, God, amaze me and show me. Because I'm telling you, God wants to do something supernatural in your natural situations. Lord, I just thank you tonight. I just trust you right now with my heart, God. Lord, I just want you to move me. I want you to help me see that the red light is to position me, not to put me behind. God, I get on your schedule, on your time. You're the one who sees. You're the one who sees the beginning from the end. And I, Lord, want to stop rerouting, and I want to stay on track. And it'd be okay with me if you just let me climb up in the boat beside you and sleep while we get through this storm. God, I don't even want to walk on the water like Peter. I just want to climb up in your lap and just rest with you. I just want you to get up and speak your word and me not fret about it. I'm asking you tonight, God, to speak your word over your people and to remind them that you're always for us and not against us, and that we need to trust you and not mistrust you. You can be trusted. I thank you for that tonight, Dad. I receive your help. I receive your love. And I receive the power of grace to be strengthened and overcome. In Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. And yes, he's going to give you the grace, provision of stay-ability.